Move by Miles Davis from Birth of the Cool. And now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Julian Joseph and a very special edition of Jazz Lineup.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Jazz Lineup from Glasgow, where the historic River Clyde is glistening behind me. Performing later will be David Bowie's collaborator on his number one album, Black Star, saxophonist Donny McCaslin and his band.
Look up here, I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen. I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
The unmistakable voice of David Bowie with Lazarus from Black Star. And stay tuned for a version of that performed by Donny and his group, as well as other treats. So I'm really looking forward to that. But first up, a woman who, in addition to her talents as a jazz vocalist, is a seasoned broadcaster for BBC Radio London, and the voice and number one compere for the London Jazz Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a rousing Glasgow Jazz Lineup welcome to Jamoke Fashola.
Mountains stand between us.
the wonderful Jamoke Fashola, ladies and gentlemen. And her wonderful band, Simon Wallace on the piano, Neville Malcolm on the double bass, Cheryl Allen on the drums, and of course, Jamoke on vocals. Jamoke, you opened with a Yoruba chant. Tell us what it means.
Well, it's all about masquerade. So in Nigeria, which is where my roots are from, you kind of welcome the masquerades. The masquerades sort of represent the ancestors. And that particular chant is an Eyo chant, which is a chant that you sing to your ancestors, but it's also, they emerge all in white only at specific times. And they normally, when they emerge, I mean, the fun is if you're a child, you need to watch out for them, because if they see you wearing shoes, they will beat you. We saw it as fun. You might think otherwise. So it really is a respect to the ancestors.
And then you segued into I Am a Stranger. Tell us about that song.
Well, I mean, we live in an era where everything is so challenging, and many of you, of course, will know the story of people who are refugees and who are migrants, who are seeking shelter. That song was written by Tim Sutton long before we had the crisis that we had now. And it talks about people being in exile, it talks about people being nomadic, it talks about people trying to find a home. And that, for me, is something that resonates deeply.
I alluded to the musicians that you have brought with you. Tell us a bit about these fine musicians who accompany you.
Well, I have to say that it's a real honor to actually have them, you know, collaborating with them. Simon Wallace, I have worked with for many a year now. Looking at him, he looks younger than I do, but, you know, he definitely, I mean, he's a genius at what he does. If you're looking for somebody who can accompany any singer in the world, this is Simon Wallace. But in his own right, he is an amazing songwriter and composer, so it's a real privilege. Neville, his nickname is Level Neville, because he keeps the beat, man. No matter where we're going, he keeps the beat, and he has worked with everybody. I mean, Gregory Porter, has him on speed dial, amongst many other artists. Cheryl Allen Lee was in the original group with Courtney Pine. She's an extraordinary drummer, and actually, for me, as a woman up front, it's lovely to have a drummer who's female as well and who looks as glamorous as she does.
Absolutely agree with that. Well, I mentioned your huge presence at the London Jazz Festival, introducing audiences to the mix of major artists performing and breaking that ice, so to speak. Your own show this year features protest songs. Tell us what you're going to play for us next.
So we've put together what we call a protest suite, which really reflects music from around the world. It takes us from the southern states of America through to actually the River Clyde right here, and then we go to sort of Africa. And sort of, a lot of it is about water, about the longing for home, which is something that you'll find is a theme in my music, and also the travel. So water features quite heavily in this set.
Jamoke Fashola, thank you so much. And here is Jamoke with her protest suite, starting off with Strange Fruit.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees, pastoral seas of the gallant south, the bulging eyes, the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is food for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, a strange and bitter It was in sweet Senegal that my foes did me and from the lands of Virginia, Virginia, torn from that lovely shore and must never see it more. But alas, I am weary, weary. All along that charming coast, there's no bitter snow and frost, for the lands of Virginia. And their flowers ever blow. And alas, I am weary, weary. Thank you. tani aninu asho fufu oluwa feru mina ola tija omo israeli oluwa feru. It was in sweet Seneca that my foes did me enthrall for the lands of Virginia, Virginia. Torn from that lovely shore and must never see it more. And alas, I am weary, weary.
Jamoke Fashola, ladies and gentlemen, interweaving a slave's lament between her version of Wade in the Water, sung in Yoruba, and also Strange Fruit. Beautiful. We'll hear more from Jamoke as the evening unfolds. As well as broadcasting on the radio, we're capturing all the excitement here and filming the show, and you can catch highlights by checking out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online, and on digital radio, broadcasting from Pacific Quay at BBC Scotland. So, before we return to the live music, our next set features a magnificent saxophonist and bandleader whose star has been ascending with a career guided by excellence and an adventurous spirit. 12 solo albums of variety, energy, and experimentation in acoustic and electronic realms brought his own music to the attention of rock legend David Bowie, which has deservedly sent McCaslin's star into a wonderful orbit, especially as the major collaborator on Bowie's farewell masterpiece, Black Star. His reputation in music is rightfully visible for its quality as contemporary, visceral, improvised music with its own identity, and we're very pleased to have Donnie join us on Jazz Lineup with a band of contemporary heavyweights. Before we hear their first set, it gives me great pleasure to speak with and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Donnie McCaslin. Welcome, my dear friend. Well, tell us about this incredible band you've brought with you. I know most of them played on the Black Star album, except Zach, right?
Yeah. Well, I've known all of these amazing musicians for quite a while. And actually, Zach and I and Tim really began our relationship playing basketball together. And we would meet every Monday for years and play basketball in a game that was made up of almost all musicians. Zach was one of the first drummers to really be able to translate the drum and bass language to the drum set. And he's just, you know, unbelievable in terms of his vision as a drummer and a musician and a producer. You'll see he's a wonderfully interactive player. He's just a true visionary. This is the one and only Zach Danziger. On bass and fellow, if you know the basketball game, you know, the power forward is a position, you know, fellow power forward. Tim also just just an incredible musician. I mean, there's no end to the inventiveness of this man. And you'll see it's not only what he plays on the bass and how he interacts with what's happening, but it's also how he manipulates the sonic universe that he's created with these pedals. And it's also his aesthetic is very open, and he's, you know, has a broad musical background that he draws from. And I just feel blessed every time he's on the bandstand. This is the amazing Tim LaFave on electric bass. And also, I first met Jason Lindner playing with Avishai Cohen, the bass player. And I remember Jeff Ballard, who's a great drummer who's been playing with Brad Meldow for many years. We were roommates at the time, or we had, you know, we knew each other really well. And he was saying, man, there's this young piano player, you got to check him out, Jason Lindner, you know. And I heard Jason, he was playing a marvelous, you know, piano player. And then, you know, eventually he had his own groups and had this big band. And I remember hearing his big band writing. And, you know, that's a genre where there's a lot of people participating and a lot of young composers writing for a big band. I have to say, I found his big band writing some of the most exciting I've heard. And eventually I was fortunate enough to sub a little bit on it, and it was just so great to participate in the deep musicianship of this man. This is the incredible Jason Lindner.
I told you he could expound, and you certainly did, Donnie. Beautiful. Now, David Bowie features hugely in some of the music we're going to hear tonight. You mentioned the composer and great band leader, Maria Schneider. She was involved in you meeting and getting hooked up with David Bowie.
She was. At one point, she had mentioned to me that David had come to hear the band play, and then at some point, months later, she said she'd gotten, somebody from David's team had reached out to her about doing a possible collaboration. And I remember she was kind of mulling it over with me on the phone because she was a few months away from doing her own record, which for Maria is a deeply, deeply intense process, hours and hours and hours. And so I think she was a little hesitant to go for it because, you know, she had this big thing coming. But I encouraged her to do it. I said, man, this is, you know, this would be a great thing, and so on and so forth. So she agreed, and she started meeting with David. He started coming to her to place, and as she described it to me one day, he was describing for her the rhythmic underpinning that he was hearing for the song Sue, and it reminded her of something from one of my records. So she played it. She said, "Hey, let me play something for you." And she played him the song called Stadium Jazz from Casting for Gravity. And then she said, you know, you ought to do something with Donnie and his band. And then evidently she encouraged him a few more times to do something. And eventually they came down to hear us play. And I met him about a week later, and it went from there.
That's fantastic. And it led on to you recording Black Star, which became a number one album and set your star, you know, sky high.
It was a transformative experience personally and musically. He was a really a remarkable person. I think sometimes you hear about celebrities meeting them and it could be a disillusioning experience or something like that, but with him it was utterly the opposite. He was a person who was very generous, you know, his spirit, and he was humble, and I think as we could all attest to, he was unbelievably funny. He had a great sense of humor, really, really smart, just a remarkable person. It was just, I couldn't have asked for a more creative environment to be in. I think we would all say that. It was, you know, it was like a dream situation, and it was truly wonderful to work with him. And then, of course, it gave my own career a lot of exposure with Rolling Stone and Billboard and all these media outlets that aren't necessarily jazz outlets, you know? So it raised my profile a lot, and then as a result of that, I've had a lot more opportunities to perform, you know, with my own group. And that's basically a dream come true. You know, when I was a teenager, when we were at school at Berkeley together, you know, in the practice room for hours at a time, that's what we're dreaming about, the opportunity to go out and play creative music with amazing musicians and to develop that music, to write new music. So, you know, I feel really, really fortunate.
Well, we feel fortunate to have you here. What are you going to play first for us?
Well, we're going to play a song from our last record, Beyond Now. This is an original called Shake Loose.
Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie McCaslin and the group. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This next song is from a few years ago. This is called Stadium Jazz.
Thank you.
The incredible Johnny McCaslin Group, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Lindner on the keys. Tim Lefevre on the bass. Zach Danzinger on the drums. Wonderful music. That was Stadium Jazz. Donny McCaslin Group taking us on a roller coaster of atmospheres. Once more, Donny McCaslin and the group. And there will be more from Donny and the band later on. Wow, guys. Beautiful music, beautiful. You're listening to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online, and on digital radio, broadcasting from Pacific Quay in Glasgow. If you go to the Radio 3 website, you can also see lots of pictures and videos from tonight's artists and lots of treats for you to enjoy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome back Jamoke Fashola and her quartet to continue her presentation on the theme of protest songs. And she brings her own sound to the Tracy Chapman classic, Talking About a Revolution.
Of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up, take what's theirs. Poor people gonna rise up and take their share. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. I say you better. About a revolution, oh.
not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and drop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out during beer commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about the germs in your bedroom, a tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not get better with Coke. The revolution will not fight the germs that cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised. 'Cause finally the table's starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Talking about a revolution, oh, talking about a revolution, oh, talking about a revolution.
Thank you so much. That, of course, was Tracy Chapman, and the words there by Gil Scott-Heron off The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, his poetry. I'm very much into poetry. It's one of my twin passions of jazz and poetry, and so I am delighted that we're going to be doing this next song for you. My claim to fame is that I once danced the slide with this woman, but I was literally almost in a room this size. So I was at the end of the slide and she was over on the other side. But I still say I was in the same room as Maya Angelou and I danced the slide with her, and I'm holding on to that. She, of course, was a phenomenal woman. But this particular track is one which has been set to her, an amazing piece of poetry called Our Eyes.
Your bitter twist. As I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room, does my sexiness upset you? Don't take it awful hard, 'cause I walk like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. You may cut me with your words, cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, 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 out of the shacks of history's shame, up through a path rooted in pain. I'll
Simon Wallace on keys, Neville Malcolm on the bass, Cheryl Allen on the drums, Jamoke Fashola Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio, broadcasting from Pacific Quay in Glasgow. If you go to the Radio 3 website, you can also see lots of pictures and videos from tonight's artists and lots of treats for you to enjoy. When Donnie said earlier, like when we were at college, Donnie and I were at music college together. We both went to Berkeley. We're old, old friends. And it's such a pleasure and privilege for me to have this man here playing his wonderful music. And I can attest to his brilliance at college. He was a superstar when I got there. And it's just wonderful to see how his playing has grown, his leadership has blossomed, and perhaps it's an opportunity for us to play.
I would love that.
Okay, so let's do something. Play a standard, Body and Soul, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny McCaslin, ladies and gentlemen.
Julian Joseph.
It's been a long time. What a wonderful thing. Well, please, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the rest of Donnie's band to the stage, Zach Danzinger on drums, Tim Lefevre on bass, and Jason Lindner on keyboards to perform their second set, opening with Art Decade by David Bowie. Donnie McCaslin Group, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Cheers, Linda. I'm going to play another song by David, and this is one from Black Star, and we're going to play an instrumental version of Lazarus.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Donny McCaslin Group, as they guide us through their magical musical tour. As we end our very special edition of Jazz Lineup here at Pacific Quay in Glasgow, thanks to all of the musicians tonight. On Radio 3 tonight at midnight, listen out for Jeffrey Smith's Jazz, featuring music from trumpeters Max Kaminski and Muggsy Spanier. And on Monday night at 11, Soweto Kinch presents Swiss trio Schneller Tollemeyer in concert at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. Plus, Jazz Now will also be live from the London Jazz Festival on Friday, November the 10th. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, and all of us here at Pacific Quay in Glasgow, bye-bye.
And you can join Julian again next week at the same time, 5 o'clock, when he'll be featuring Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, Misha Mulov-Abado. Tonight's programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade.
Breaking Free, a century of Russian culture.
This Tuesday, Radio 3 marks 100 years to the day of the October Revolution by heading to the city where the uprising began, St. Petersburg.
Breakfast comes live from the historic Mariinsky Theatre in the heart of the city from 6:30.
Back in Britain, we'll be in Lenin's London office for music and discussion with a panel of experts at 2.
And on In Tune, we'll have a futuristic-sounding Soviet-invented theremin in the studio. That's from 5.
Breaking Free, a century of Russian culture, continues on Tuesday here on BBC Radio 3.
Good evening. You are listening to BBC Radio 3. And right now it's 6:30 and time for Opera on 3, Mussorgsky's Khovanshchina, sung in Russian by Welsh National Opera. Here's Andrew McGregor.
Welcome to the heart of Welsh National Opera's Russian Revolution season here in Cardiff. And as opera director David Pountney feels even now, a work that informs us about the Russian character, which he says has survived stoically, bemusedly and heroically everything that the Russian state has chosen to throw at it over the last century and more. And in Modest Mussorgsky's epic historic drama Khovanshchina, The Khovansky Affair, a great deal more. Mussorgsky defined his musical mission as finding the present in the past. And to do this, he turned to turbulent times in 17th century Russian history and a power struggle between religious fundamentalists and west-facing liberals, between the forces of the old believers of Tsar Peter the Great and of the Streltsy, the private army of the rebel warlord Prince Ivan Khovansky. And with me is Professor Anastasia Belina from the Royal College of Music in London, who's going to be unravelling the first part of this opera with me in a moment. But first, let's frame the opera before we get into the plot. Anastasia, just remind us briefly where Khovanshchina fits into the history of Russian opera.
Khovanshchina is a great drama, not just an operatic drama, but of course a national drama, drama of the people, drama of the Russian state, as Mussorgsky wanted to express it. In his own output, it remains one of the operas that Mussorgsky never completed and that has been completed by many people. But it stands as a monument to Mussorgsky's powers as a composer, as a great operatic inventor.
And just briefly, give us an idea of how much was left to complete when Mussorgsky died in 1881.
Well, he did not orchestrate the opera. Only two tiny fragments were orchestrated, so the entire orchestration work still had to be done. Out of the 6 scenes that we have now, the finale was not completed, and also the ending of the 2nd was not completed. Whoever turned to the task of completing the opera had to make some sort of a coherent sequence out of the fragments that were left.
Well, Rimsky-Korsakov was first to complete Khovanchina, but we're going to hear it in Dmitri Shostakovich's orchestration from the late 1950s and with Igor Stravinsky's ending. We'll find out more about that during the interval. But what about the staging itself? The curtain opens on a ruined building, piles of shattered concrete and toppled pillars with a huge wrecking ball hanging ominously overhead. So where are we? David Poutney.
Well, the piece is, in some senses, a kind of political debate.